these marijuana grows are either connected to Mexican cartels or high-level criminal organizations that also use human trafficking, as they've used workers to work these grows. On this grow, there's 5 Chinese nationals that were working this grow that are undocumented, don't speak any English, and are most likely were human trafficked here into the United States to work on these illegal grow-ups.
The situation at the border is out of control. You probably saw the images, the videos that were taken by many fearless reporters exposing the reality of the human rights abuses that are happening every day, as, you know, essentially hundreds of thousands of people are either illegally crossing, are trafficked, or just straight up get stuck at our southern border trying to get in. And our government's response has been what? Let's just open up the border. Let's let them in. And then, of course, if they got separated from their family, let's pay them out an unspecified amount up to perhaps $450,000. But what people don't talk about is the real danger and the real problems that are actually happening. But there is one journalist who was brave enough to go down there, a good friend of mine who made one of the most insane documentaries that we're going to break down and expose the most insane things that are happening at the southern border. Jorge Ventura, or as I call him in white speak, George, welcome back to Slightly Offensive.
Hey, thank you for having me on, man. This is I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So first of all, you're not dead. So obviously you survived this, but you had some pretty close calls there, didn't you?
Yeah, and the just recent one too, Elijah, was about 3-4 weeks ago. I was in Yuma, Arizona. We were reporting at an area called The Gap, because there's literally like a gap of border wall. And I was actually filming a human smuggler bringing a cartel member into the country and actually taking money. And as soon as he saw me, he actually put his hand on his gun and started to threaten to shoot me. And he was demanding to actually steal my phone. He was saying in Spanish to put my phone on the floor. And I think it was like a, you know, fight or flight moment. And I just ran back to the U.S. side. I'm blessed that he didn't shoot. Now, the good thing is, I took a screenshot of the video. We blasted it on Twitter, and Border Patrol, the Yuma division, they had actually a whole meeting about it, and they sent what they call Border TAC, which is like their tactical unit. So they've been actually looking for that armed human smuggler right there. So,
well, and we're also glad that you did not die.
Yeah.
I know there was a close call. I saw that genuinely, and you were in a lot of this stuff. But obviously, we have seen videos of what's going on the border. But you decided to make a documentary, and before we even look at the clips, what is the documentary actually about?
So the title of the documentary is Cartelville, USA. And what's actually pretty crazy is, so I've been reporting at the border since March, and I actually got to meet Congressman Mike Garcia, a Republican who represents District 25 back in North LA County. So for folks who don't know, in North LA County, you got communities like Antelope Valley, Palmdale, Acton, Nenac. It's very desert, rural. It's away from the city, so the people that live there are lean, more conservative. And according to Garcia, he said, hey, the reason why I'm focused on the border right now is because all these drug cartels and human smuggling that's impacting my district. And then I was shocked because I grew up in Palmdale, lived there my whole life, and I couldn't believe it. So Mr. Garcia, he actually gave me 2 town hall meetings to attend. So a town hall meeting is where all these residents that are complaining about these cartels, they all attended. And I got to hear the problem from them. And essentially what's happened, Elijah, is like we literally do have drug cartels moving into our community. So out there in the deserts, they're starting up an illegal marijuana operation. Now, I know when people hear illegal marijuana, they think it's not a big deal, and I get it. They think that it's like just a Cheech and Chong characters out there just, you know, smoking dope and listening to Bob Marley, but they have no idea that is a whole criminal enterprise. So it's these drug cartels moving in, they're starting up illegal marijuana, they're smuggling migrants from the border and forcing migrants to work on these grows. So that what we're seeing is labor trafficking. We're seeing water theft because these guys are actually stealing the water from the communities. We're seeing an environmental issue, but also the violence. So our homicide rate has jumped up out there in the deserts. LA County Sheriff will find bodies that have been shot and killed connected to these illegal marijuana grows. So it's really changing, and it's a situation that I think people don't realize, that these cartels are officially in our backyard.
Yeah, and I was really actually amazed by the quality of this doc, and I want to talk about this because I didn't know this was happening. Again, it's not Cheech and Chong out there; it's right. Enrique and Jose, and they'll decapitate you if you get in the way. Yeah. So, you know, a little bit less enjoyable. But before we jump into that, I do want to give a huge shout out to our sponsor for today. So, obviously, the holidays are coming around; Christmas is coming up, and it's so important to get a gift to somebody that actually is quality and means something to them. You know, we spend about a third of our lives sleeping. And so that's why the best gift you can give someone is a perfect night's sleep with pure organic cotton sheets from Bull and Branch that make a truly special gift. And they are honestly the highest quality gift that you can give that can actually directly change someone's life. So besides boxers or maybe shoes, there's nothing that we're in contact with more that directly needs to be comfortable than our sheets. Now, I've had cheap sheets that you wash them and they end up getting all like they pill and they get gross, they wear out, but I actually have Bull and Branch. I have two sets and I have them in white. They are so breathable. Me and my wife sleep on them every night, so I can definitely tell you they're amazing. And what was so cool too, and I never get over this, is they come in such amazing packaging that it ends up making the perfect gift because it's so beautiful from the inside and out. You feel the quality immediately. You wash them, they don't lose their color, and they actually hold the threads, and the threads don't pop out and they don't get gross. And they all are at a fair price, which is absolutely amazing. I love them, and I know that you will as well. And so I'm typically a hot sleeper. These help me to actually have a cool sleep. They actually get the heat outside of my body. My wife tends to be a cool sleeper, but they keep her warm. So you get that double team there where we can actually both get sheets that work for our bodies and what we love. And you can get them too as well with their signature sheets that are 100% organic cotton, completely toxin-free and fair trade certified. Treat yourself and your loved ones to a new standard in bedding from Bull and Branch. Their gifts come wrapped and ready in their special holiday packaging. Order by December 19th for guaranteed delivery by Christmas. The best deals of the year going on now from November 1st through November 11th with promo code OFFENSIVE at bullandbranch.com. That's B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code OFFENSIVE. Exclusions may apply. So obviously, you were not getting a comfortable night's sleep making this documentary. You do not have any Bull and Branch. You mainly had some balaclavas and some individuals with guns. But you talk about the idea that there are these grow ops that are going on that we don't know about that are impacting communities. And I want to play a clip from this because, like you said, this is not just like small grow ops that, you know, some guy bought a house and is growing a few plants in his bedroom and we're just, you know, crying about, you know, the devil's lettuce. This is a full on criminal cartel. And a sheriff that you spoke to explains just how much drugs we are actually dealing with in these busts. Let's go ahead and let's play that clip.
Was this number three for you guys?
Yeah.
As my little one would say, kapow! Go get it, guys.
This is what is known as Operation Hammer Strike by San Bernardino County, where they have these marijuana teams working actively to take down these illegal grows that are really plaguing the communities, both in San Bernardino County and also LA County.
Roughly 2 to 3 plants, depending on their height, can make a pound. These should be 1 pound bags. Our plant count, since they've already gone through it, this one sitting on 287 inside there. One bag is worth anywhere from, I would say the product, the quality that we're seeing out there, it's $1,200 to $1,500 for one bag.
Let me ask you something. Can you confirm that that bag didn't go home with you?
No comment.
I love how the guy's talking. He's like, yeah, this can make 1 pound. So you're telling me if I just happen to take 3 of these bags,
you got to hold 3 pounds.
You're saying, okay, no, but this is so crazy. Cause obviously people, again, yeah, when you hear about this, you wonder why it's important. I mean, when I'm looking at the images here and I'm understanding this, are these are sheriff, not DEA. This is local sheriff.
Yeah. So that's the San Bernardino County Sheriff. They have a special unit of teams that just enforce and raid these cartel grow ops. So in this clip, actually, Elijah, the raids that we're doing are actually grow ops connected to the Chinese mafia. So we were actually running into Chinese nationals that are working these grow ups that were smuggled through the border. So this is something, like I said, this is not Cheech and Chong. This is a real criminal enterprise. We're seeing labor trafficking, human smuggling. We actually seen some women and children on these grow ups that are forced to live there. So the situation is dire. And I think the big issue with this is that there's a misconception problem, meaning that like if you just pull someone off the sidewalk in California and say, hey man, did you know that we have kind of an illegal marijuana operation crisis? People literally just like shrug their shoulders like, okay, and like, you know, just because it's not meth or fentanyl, they don't know that, you know, there's a, like I said, huge criminal enterprise and the violence that these guys bring. So during our documentary, we found out that there's three kind of criminal fractions that are involved in this. So it's the Mexican cartel connected to Sinaloa. It's the Chinese mafia. And it's also the Armenian crime organization. So those three groups are fighting for territory out there. And right now, Elijah, in LA County, over 500 illegal grow ops. The county right next door to us, San Bernardino, has over 1,000.
That is so insane. Honestly, like when I look at this and I try to understand the depth of what's going on, because I've always just thinking of like, oh, marijuana is pot, it's legal. People just smoke it. It's not like that big of a deal. But obviously these people have taken advantage of the higher prices, mm-hmm. probably from the taxed pot.
I mean,
but the question is, are they selling this in dispensaries, or is this black market?
So they'll sell it to dispensaries, but that's like that not their main thing. Their main thing is just to ship it to the East Coast. So anytime they ship it to the East Coast, they could earn three times as much. So that's what we're seeing. But the dangerous thing too here, Elijah, is that a lot of these weed plants that you're going to see are actually sprayed with pesticides and chemicals. So even that weed that you're, if you get it from these guys, it's not even good weed because it has pesticides and chemicals all over. And they do this so the animals out in the desert don't eat the grows. But unfortunately, these pesticides and chemicals actually reap into the soil and make their way into our riverbed. And Elijah, you know, coming from California, water is everything to us out there. I mean, we're in a drought. Where I live in Palmdale, I can't even go over a certain like threshold, or we get like billed and tax heavier. So it's dire. And like I said, these guys are stealing water. It's an environmental problem. It's the violence. And like I said, we're literally seeing human smuggling, trafficking, labor trafficking, all right here on American soil. So it's here. They're in our backyards. And like I said, just LA County has over 500 illegal grow-ups. I think, and during our documentary, you're going to see, we discovered an illegal grow-up that was 10 acres long. We're talking about million-dollar operations. You would have thought that Jeff Bezos and Amazon was running the operation. That's how large it was.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, in California, we pray for more water, and all God gives us is Mexicans. They just keep coming, and the water stops, and the illegals don't. The flow continues forever. And on that note, I want to get into this more and just say welcome back to Slightly Offensive. This is the best, worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color. And we're talking about the new documentary with George Ventura that we're going to get into in depth. We also have some other things we're going to talk about as well. George Ventura is visiting from the Daily Caller. And if you want to check out this movie before we talk about it, where can they find the movie in case they just want to skip this and go straight to the film?
So two ways to find it. One, you could just go on dailycaller.com and it's going to redirect you to the website. But we have our own website for the documentary. So it's carteldoc.com. carteldoc.com. You're going to see the trailer there. So if you want to send it to family and friends, send them the trailer. But the full documentary is there. And so far, we're getting some really, really great reviews. On Saturday, actually, I woke up to a missed call from Florida. And when I called it back, Congressman Matt Gaetz actually saw the documentary and is now in talks with Congressman Mike Garcia in California just to see what they could do just to even help out. So we're getting some great feedback on it. We're opening people's eyes, and I'm really glad you guys had me on just to get it out there, because like I said, people think that it's Cheech and Chong. It's not. And, you know, when people talk about, oh, well, you know, the border crisis, it doesn't really impact us. This is 300 miles away from the border. This is not San Diego. And these cartels are here.
Yeah, and that's why I want to break this down, because people are not talking about this. So you explained something interesting earlier, and I do want to break this down. People think that the trafficking and everything is simply just Mexican cartels and it's gangs. You spoke to a sheriff, though, who's explaining about how Chinese nationals, you mentioned this earlier, are actually a huge part of this trafficking. So this is a globalist in a global movement. This is not just Mexicans. This is beyond that. This is so organized. I didn't know that the Chinese were involved in this. Let's listen to what the sheriff had to say.
Pretty common. Majority of our grows we see are Mexican national and Chinese national. Their whole purpose to come here was just to tend for the grow, and then it helps cover their costs for whoever brought them over.
Okay, so those are five Chinese nationals.
I would say 90, 95% of the time, the people that are here tending to them are undocumented. If it's ran from a drug trafficking organization. The most common in our area are the Mexican national, Chinese nationals. We are starting to see Armenian come in the area, but very small right now. Yeah, they'll work off their debt. They could be here a year. They could be here 6 months. Depends how much they owe.
So here's the thing. I guess when you come over to the United States from China, you can either give back massage with happy ending, or you can traffic pot. I didn't know this was like a common thing. Like I told Kez, we went and got massages so bad at this massage parlor. I said, we literally just got a massage at a hand job factory, because I swear, like, nobody's going to that place for a massage, because I got the worst massage ever. And there was like a big line, and I'm like, I hope that person washed their hands. But I was weirded out that nobody at the massage place, like, they didn't speak English, like a lick of English. And I'm going, and they have all these signs like, oh, we're against human trafficking. And I'm going, there's got to be a front for something, right?
Yep.
Like this has got, so my question is, with the Chinese nationals, how are they getting these people in through the southern border? How are they getting them in here?
Yeah. So they're smuggling these Chinese nationals through the southern border. So the same way that the Chinese make the fentanyl in Mexico and then traffic the fentanyl, same way. It's just now they have humans. So now they're sending their own Chinese migrants. And the thing is, we've been reporting in Yuma, Arizona, and I've met some of these Chinese nationals that get smuggled in. So yeah, people, like I said, people don't have any idea about this. And the same way that the fentanyl comes in is the same way that these Chinese migrants are coming in. The sad part, really, Elijah, is that these folks are working off a debt with criminal organizations. So these guys are you're essentially seeing slave labor on American soil. So yeah, these guys, they're, as soon as they got arrested, I mean, they were crying and all that stuff. But yeah, they're being forced to work this grow up. And the thing is, these cartels arm these migrants. So these migrants, if they get into a confrontation with another cartel, they got to shoot and kill. And even last year, LA Times reported there was a 26-year-old man from Guatemala that was smuggled in. He ran away from the grow up and was shot and killed. And they found him out there buried in the desert.
And they're crying because they're probably just scared.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And you're going to see it too in the documentary. Like the sheriff says, hey, these guys are like the very low, low level. You know, the guys who are high up controlling this, they're not going to face any consequences. The other issue here too, Elijah, is the policy. So Prop 64, it passed in 2016. Prop 64, what it did, it legalized cannabis statewide, but it made illegal cultivation downgraded from what used to be a felony in California down to a misdemeanor. So it essentially just opened up this floodgate. So think about this, Elijah. If you and me have an illegal grow operation in California, let's say we have 50,000 plants.
How do we do this?
We could set up in the middle of nowhere.
Hypothetically, if we wanted to get rich off of weed,
we can.
How do we do
this? And it's easy. So we would literally just drive out to the desert. We would find some land. We'll get the infrastructure there with hoop houses and everything, and then we'll grow our weed. So let's say me and Elijah had 50,000 plants, and let's say we get raided. And the worst thing that's going to happen to us, actually, Elijah, which is a kind of a joke, is we're just going to get a $500 ticket, a misdemeanor.
So Savannah, are you writing this down?
I am taking notes on this, actually.
So to be honest, it's almost like, why would we not do it? If we can make hundreds of thousands, millions, thousands of dollars, and all we're going to get is a $500 ticket, we're actually stupid for not having an illegal grow up.
No, I know this. And Brandon's out there outside of the broom closet. He used to do legal weed. He used to sell it. And it's really hard to turn a profit legally now with the competition. So might as well just do it illegally.
Exactly.
But not us. But if we did do it, that's how we're doing it. And it is interesting that you talk about Asians being trafficked and you're having a hard time and wanting to get out. Obviously, now you understand how I hired Savannah. I just literally, she's like crying every day. She's like, no, that's just because she's a woman and she's working and she doesn't want to be. But I... No, but I say Savannah Hernandez, forgot to introduce you, host of the Rapid Fire podcast. Welcome back on here as well. You're looking good, Savannah.
Thank you. I'm so excited because we're on with my good friend Jorge. He and I have been to the border before, and this man never misses. You know, he'll stay out there all night to make sure he gets the story. And it's been crazy down there.
No, absolutely. If I swear, it's been crazy, and I've been watching you shift into this. And what's interesting, people don't realize, is beyond just being, a movie and capturing this and really risking your life, you and I have a long history of recording domestic conflict, right? Throughout all of 2020 into early 2021, there has been massive domestic unrest here in the United States. And you were I would say not famous for, but well-known for courageous coverage. And so it's interesting to me, though, over the years, how you switched from like the domestic conflict to seeing, and you told me this, like the biggest conflict and issue now is at our border. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's what's happening. And it's after Trump left, it's interesting to see how accelerated the chaos has become and how absolutely out of control things have gotten. It makes me wonder, like, can any of these people, even the law enforcement, any of these keep up with this at this level?
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And the numbers just came in. July and August were the first time ever in Border Patrol history we had back-to-back months of over 200,000 apprehensions. The scary number about that, Elijah, is not, it doesn't even count the gotaways. So the gotaways are the migrants that come into the country that we don't stop, we can't detect. So the number is actually a lot higher. The situation is so bad that Axios even put out a report saying one out of three unaccompanied children that get released into the United States, the government loses track of. So now we're literally losing kids in the system. Situation got so bad.
They didn't treat kids like my tax dollars. There you go. Just losing them. No idea where they go.
And then the situation got so bad that the DOJ, Department of Justice, is running an investigation on our own government to see if we are releasing unaccompanied minors to labor traffickers. And that's what you're going to see there in a documentary.
Wait, what?
Yep.
We don't know this. Do you know what this reminds me of? Like whenever you hear the government doing things, Savannah, did you see that study that was like, we're going to start studying to see the long-term effects of the vaccine on the heart. And then it was like,
yep.
I read, I think it was Jesse Kelly that said, That's a good thing that we're doing this study before we roll it out to hundreds of millions of people around the world. Like, they're so backwards, the government. And you look at this and they're always complaining like, oh, we want to treat people better. Like, trans rights matter. You know, trans black lives matter. What about these people? Do their lives matter to you? Because it looks like the way we're handling things, that they're being taken advantage of.
Oh, absolutely. And also, Elijah, I was on the ground in late September when those 15,000 Haitians came to Del Rio at once, and they released 12,000 into the public. And we were literally driving up to gas stations, and Haitians were just waiting outside. So we would like jump out the car and be like, hey, have you been tested for COVID-19 before being released into the public? And they'd be like, no. And I'm like, I thought we were in a so-called pandemic, but then they're releasing 12,000 Haitians. And then a couple of days later, Secretary Mayorkas comes out and says, oh, you know those 12,000 Haitians we released? We think like 20% of them are testing positive for COVID. I'm like, oh, great. Yeah, that's fantastic. So our country right now is just headed backwards. And yeah, it's just funny, right? Like, if you're an American citizen, you know, you work a job, you have to get the vaccine or you get fired. But these migrants, you come in illegally, you get released into the United States, no mandate for them.
Yeah, I've always thought that's interesting, too, that there's no mandate for these people for the vaccine. And it's like, if there's anybody that probably would need vaccines, it would be random people from different countries, like Haiti,
right?
By the way, Haiti, which is a shithole country. It is. It really is really, really horrible. And it's a good place for the Clintons to traffic money and children. But it makes you wonder, with the amount of trafficking that's going on, like in all seriousness, it's like, why is this accelerating? And it's interesting that I was saying about us having a history basically tracking the defund the police riots. That's really what it was. It weren't Black Lives Matter and Antifa riots. It was a movement to defund the police. And that's what they were trying to do across the country. If you really think about it, it wasn't about black justice. The ultimate cry of all these people was to disband and disarm the police. And it seems like people are saying that that movement backfired and is to blame for part of this. Let's listen to that.
The defund police is the reason why these cartels are so emboldened.
We've come to the decision that things aren't going to change fast enough. And probably not in our lifetime.
They don't feel threatened by our law enforcement.
I've made the decision, we've made the decision that we're gonna start looking for places to live.
So it seems like the cartels are more powerful than the LA County. And we're left to fend for ourselves here.
So these people don't have any faith anymore in our police system, and they feel like the movement to defund the police has really hurt the police's ability to probably want to go out and enforce the law, because they're going, well, people don't want us anyways. People have quit in high numbers, including vaccine mandates. People are you know, being forced to choose between their jobs or their medical freedom. And these people are saying, like, they're living in the United States, I'm presuming, saying, we don't feel like our government can protect us in our own country.
Absolutely. And that's, I think, Elijah, was probably like the sad thing about the documentary, because we spend time with these working class citizens, you know, folks that are want to retire in the desert. They put all their money into their home only for their communities to be taken over by cartels. And the police can't fight them off, because there's too many. The defund the police movement, it especially hurted LA County, because they needed as much money when it comes to fighting these illegal grops. So LA County, they just did back in July, they did a 10-day raid of these grows. I mean, just a 10-day raid cost the department $1 million. So they don't have enough money to keep up with the fight. And it's sad, because at the end of the day, the people who suffer the most are the American citizens that are living in the midst of these drug wars in the desert, and also the people that are being taken advantage of, which is these migrants when it comes to labor trafficking. So everyone is losing on this, and California is losing on this, meaning that all that weed, you're getting no tax revenue on it. So right now, 80% of the marijuana coming out of California is all black market. So the state isn't seeing the revenue. The violence has gone up. Water theft. I mean, it's insane that this is happening on American soil. I mean, this stuff should be happening in a third world country. Elijah, when you're out there, they literally have no go zones for these people, because they like, hey, we can't drive into this part of the community anymore because we're going to get threatened by these cartels. So this is happening on American soil, and the defund the police movement, it always hurts working class people. The people who push to defund the police, which is a lot of these white rich liberals, they're good, man. They got private security. They're in a gated community. So yeah, they're good. But what about the rest of us? What about these working class citizens that are stuck in the middle of this? Who's going to stick up for them? Who's going to, you know, defend them?
No, and that's absolutely true. And it's interesting, though, when I'm looking at this, I'm trying to see if we have that. It kind of strikes me as interesting that I feel that too in this country. And I, it's like I've lost hope in law enforcement, and I've lost hope in that ability. And that's why I do want to talk to you guys about the importance of protecting yourself and also by carrying a firearm on you, specifically with Northwest Retention. I got to tell you guys something awesome. Obviously, for all rights and purposes, this is not a real firearm and this is fake. But my buddies at Northwest Retention have the best carrying system for all of my firearms. So whether it's a side carry, in a holster, a custom holster that has a lifetime warranty, all American made leather products, so beautifully conscripted, whether it's a concealed carrier like this, or it's like a sling for my AR, I got to tell you the story. So I went and spoke at an event, and I can't give a lot of details here because I am not going to do you want to say anything, but I will tell you that I didn't hire security just once. I usually hired security, but we have this new constitutional carry here in Texas. So I decided to use my Northwest Retention concealed carrier and just go strapped. And everyone's like, well, why do you need to be strapped? Why do you need to be strapped, bro? And by the way, if you're watching the show, no, I'm sorry if this was you, but somebody came right up to me and told me they were sent by God and that they were like in a dream and that they alerted me to the Jared Leto death cult and that it's like a pedophile thing. And then they like said, they're going to show me something in their backpack and go to like reach in. And I swear, like I was this close to making like the best use of my Northwest Retention concealed carrier. Like I was so happy I was armed because he ended up being a really cool guy, but it was such a forceful and kind of like frightening reaction knowing that I had a carrier that was keeping me safe. It's priceless. So if you want to have the best custom carriers in America, go to nwretention.com. That's nwretention. You never know when you're going to need your firearm, but make sure that it's in the best carrier system. Even check out their Scout chest carrier. We love the company. We love the owner and literally the brand that I put and trust my life with right here. So thank you at Northwest Retention. Go to nwretention.com. Promo code offensive for 10% off. That's nwretention.com. Promo code offensive for 10% off. I was going to say, why aren't you strapped and carrying one of these when you're around? You should just store a gun at my house.
Actually, I was going to say too, Elijah, if you type in the promo code Alec Baldwin, you get an extra 30% off.
Alec Baldwin is for prop guns only. Prop guns. And if you have a real gun, it's NWRetention promo code offensive. No prop guns allowed. No, but I was just saying, like, genuinely, I know this is like the ad, not the ad, but like, I feel so much safer carrying a gun with me everywhere I go in my life. Like I feel so safe. And that's why they don't want us to have that protection. Like it's with not trusting the police and whatnot. Like this is not part of the ad, but like legitimately speaking, this is an amazing carrier, and it's comfortable. And I carry a gun because I don't trust the police. Like these people are going, I don't think the police are able to help us anymore. And it's up to you to be your own security. I'm not telling people to go shoot people and be vigilantes, but like we saw with Kenosha, what's going on with Rittenhouse right now. I mean, literally the police are basically jack shit when it comes to actually being able to stop and mitigate crime. It's so out of control.
And the thing with me, Elijah, is I always got the, because I'm, you know, raised in a Hispanic household, I always got the chancla on me, man. So if anyone, so I just pull out the chancla and then boom. So it's still, So it's still, the chancla is still working for me. But no, I do need to get armed really soon, especially after running into those close altercations at the border. So
you need to move here to Texas.
Yeah.
You need to come here and you need to buy some firearms. You need to carry firearms on you at all times.
I need to come and be a Texas boy.
In Texas ploy. I got my Texas Mexican.
But Elijah, you went from full Californian in Hollywood to now full-blown Texans. You got a gun. When are you buying a horse, bro, in the cowboy hat? Where's that at?
I don't know. I'll just buy a Chinese immigrant and feed him ivermectin, and then he'll become a horse. Give Sav ivermectin, and then she can become a horse.
Elijah's trying to get his own show canceled.
We know.
Pretty much, that's what every show is, Jorge. Every single show.
It's true. Dude, it's
Sam has the hardest producer job in the world because of this guy.
Oh yeah,
shooting a show twice a week. My plight.
Shooting a show twice a week. Ah, what a burden of a job. I wish I was a roofer. Sam says. It's like no. Actually, this is. But it's true. It is hot up here in the broom closet. So she does have to put up with a lot. Imagine having to work.
My God.
Imagine having to work for me. That would not be a fun job.
No.
I wouldn't want to work for me.
Yes. Someone please save Sav. She's a she's a migrant that's been trafficked here and she's being forced to work
Elijah
for this.
Elijah actually got me from the border. I'm being held here against my will. Please help.
Hey, really, really quick, Elijah. When I was at the border, Sav gave me a call. And it was the worst idea I ever heard in the world. And she thought it was the greatest. She told me to strap a GoPro on my forehead and go into the migrant facilities and act like
a kidding camera.
Yeah, yes. So I was like, Oh my God.
Walk in and be like, yeah. I'm here for my new job. just be like, just tape your eyes back with a GoPro on your forehead and be like, just migrant here.
No, I was telling Jorge, I was like, okay, hear me out, bro. We get a hidden camera, we get on a bus, Border Patrol comes and picks us up, we get $2,000 and a plane ticket. I don't see how this could go wrong.
Sav is the first Asian that wanted to get trafficked. Like, yeah. It was like, I've heard of like rape fantasies in women, no. You know, trafficking yeah. fantasies. Damn, girl. Hey, you did. Hey, whatever you're into.
I'm just trying to get the investigative news that I need to get. But unlike Jorge, I don't speak Spanish, so I got to learn that. And then catch me on a bus. Catch me on a bus.
Catch me on a bus. Well,
just catch me in the facility. Like, hello, my name is Jorge. Hey, hi. My name is Jorge.
¿Qué pasó, Marta?
Hola, amigo. I'm in there too. They're like, something's wrong here.
Yeah.
Hola, amigo. I'm from Haiti. Hola.
One of my favorite riot moments was when Elijah was covering a riot. I forgot, you know, what city we were in, Seattle, Portland. And Elijah puts on a Mexican flag, like as a bandana face mask. And I'm just like, why? Why is this like white guy just doing this?
Because they're going to think that I love Mexico.
Just out there standing in support, bro.
The writers are so stupid that it literally takes just like waving a trans flag for them to be like, yeah.
One of us.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Elijah, don't you love it too? During this Rittenhouse trial, Richie gave out his kind of secret kind of plan when he's out there, which is like, and I love this because it's like one of the best tactics I've ever seen. But Richie, when he's out on the ground with us, he's always giving rioters like white claws and cigarettes and just drinking with them, just vibing. And it's like, it was hilarious that that came out during the Rittenhouse trial.
You know what? No, it really did. And I was thinking of this time, not to like totally derail this, but I was laughing because I said that it worked. One time I was in Portland in front of the courthouse with a bunch of Antifa with my mask, my gas mask up, drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette at a riot. And we were talking about me, but they didn't know it was me. And they're like, yeah, like the people are here. And I was like, oh, like Elijah. Yeah, I heard he's here. And we're like just shit talking me together, drinking a beer. While there's like tear gas. And I just thought it was the funniest thing because I'm going, these people literally like, I'm just, and I did it because I'd already gotten doxxed. So I decided to just like, I just decided to start drinking a beer. And it was like very interesting situation because it's like, these people are so out of touch with reality that you just drinking a beer and smoking a cigarette makes them think like, well, couldn't be him.
And
I love it how they're like, yeah, you match the exact height and skin color and description of Elijah Schaefer. And you're like, that's not me, bro. And they're like, okay, cool.
That's
cool.
Not me. Look,
make sure you're cool.
Would Elijah have a Mexican flag bandana?
Yeah.
No.
Everyone knows
Checkmate
Elijah.
Checkmate Antifa. Yeah.
But no, man. Shout out to, shout out to Richie on that one. That's like
shout
probably
out
the most
to Richie.
Hilarious. Tactics, and it works. If anyone who knows Richie too, he has the rider vibe, you know, kind of like laid back, kind of like, yo, I'm just here, man, kicking it me against the system. So
gets actually front page called a rioter by the New York Times.
Oh my
who
god,
retract
that.
Yeah, he had to retract that one.
Yeah, it was a famous photo where like Richie's like fingers like through the little broken glass, and he's just, the thing is, Richie just looks like a hippie. I remember one there was a protest before for the J6. It was I forgot what it was called, but it was you know, Trump had a bunch of people come out, and Richie I run into Richie during this kind of riot, and Richie's literally on a beach bike with no shirt and sandals.
Jorge, I'm like, it was the Million MAGA March because you and I were there. Yep. And then Richie started getting his ass beat by the Proud Boys. And we were like, we don't know him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we were like, Richie.
Only Richie in the middle of a riot has a beach bike and like no shirt.
No shirt on.
I'm like, yes. Yeah. Thank
and
you,
Sav. The Million Proud Boys March. Were out for blood too. And so soon as they saw this like chill ass man with long hair, no shirt, they were like, that's the one, get him. And we were like, Richie, run, bro. You need to run.
Yeah, you have no idea. He's the video director at the Daily Caller.
Yeah, he'll just go unmasked. Like, I just see him. And he's just walking around with his hair back.
Damn.
Drinking a beer.
Yeah.
He's always like, hey, man, you want a beer? And I'm always like, this is a weird time, but sure. Like, you know, like, it's strange. Like, there's a lot of tear gas. There's rubber bullets. And he's just like, yo, bro. Like, you know, I'm like, coughing. It's like, hey, man, do you need a cigarette? Do you need a cigarette? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. So here's the interesting thing. So I want to talk about this, though. Some of the bigger things about human trafficking. So one thing that you brought up is how organized all this is. And I think it might just be B-roll, but, I saw you were the one who was talking about this, about these bracelets and about how there are these identifiers and how this is not just, you know, people like looking for a better life happening to find their way over a border. Like this is an entirely organized criminal enterprise where they, it looks like they're about to go to Astro World, both deadly. but I mean, like, it's seriously, what is this? A Travis Scott concert?
It might be worse, but basically what we're seeing here, Elijah, is that, you know, for these migrants to cross into the U.S. illegally, this is actually in Roma, Texas, where they come in these kind of rafts, little boats. So they need to purchase their way to cross. So the proof of purchase is that bracelet. So basically, you know, if you and me go to a football game, obviously, you know, we buy a ticket, that's our mission in. That's their mission into the United States. So it's showing you that these cartels treat people almost like Amazon products. And on those black bracelets, it's going to have the Spanish word entregas, meaning delivered. And I think one of the scary things during one of those nights that we were out there, Elijah, is some of the men that are bringing these kids over, and you know they're not their dad. It's just that right there is the eerie of like seeing these adults who are claiming these people as their kids, and you damn well know they're not. And that's just like a weird. It's just a weird situation to see a kid being human smuggled in traffic, like in, you know, real time. And, you know, we interview them, like we say, hey, where's your mom and dad? They're like, they're back in El Salvador. They're back in Guatemala, back in Nicaragua.
And this is, you're speaking in Spanish. People know you're fluent in Spanish.
Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm like, so you guys came alone? They're like, yeah, look, right here in that clip. So this is a scary thing, Elijah. Those are two brothers and one sister, all under the age of 13. Remember how I said earlier, Elijah, that Axios put out a report, one out of three unaccompanied minors that get released into the United States, we're going to lose track of? Look at that. That was a sister and two brothers. They don't know it, but one of them is going to get lost into the system here in the United States. I think that's the very sad part. But there you see these bracelets that these human smugglers put on them. Literally, like I said, treating them like an Amazon product. And I'm blessed that we were able to be there, because when we got all this video footage and we put it out to the world, I mean, American eyes are hopefully waking up to the problem. Like, look, this is happening every single night at our southern border. As you and me are talking right now, Elijah, migrants are being sex trafficked, human smuggled into the country in record numbers.
Yeah, and this is what's so insane is that, you know, even though, you know, we are able to enjoy our lives, like, these people are actually in many ways victims, because they are, this is not, again, just climate refugees trying to seek the border. These are people who are being caught into a system of criminal enterprise. And as we leave the border open, and as we allow this to occur, we're actually letting criminals who let these people die in mass every year, who rape them, who molest them. I mean, like, this is a serious thing.
There's a thing, Elijah, in the border, it's called a rape tree. And what a rape tree is what these smugglers do is they'll rape these migrant women and they'll hang up their bras and panties on the tree. Almost them celebrating and almost showing Border Patrol, like, what are you going to do about this? So there's, you know, we found out that out. It's just, it's a dark, dark world. And I think it's appropriate, Elijah, to call it a humanitarian crisis. And I think a lot of Americans, when they think humanitarian, they think, oh, well, that happens in Yemen. That happens in Africa. It doesn't happen here. It's happening here. And we should not be okay with it. I interviewed Brian Babin, which is a congressman here in Texas, who got access to one of these migrant facilities. He tells me that these rooms are made for like 50 people, and they're stacking like 600 in each of them. Even NBC News, obviously liberal mainstream, but even NBC News put out a report 2 months ago saying that there are reports of these migrants getting sexually assaulted in these facilities. And, you know, where's AOC now? Where's all those Democrats? You know, it's crazy. And the sad thing, Elijah, is, you know, the Democratic Party, they say that they care about black and brown lives. Mm-hmm. Who do you think this is impacting the most? Black and brown people. And this is sad. Like, all these kids that are all by themselves, and they don't even know that they're going to get lost into a system here in the United States. We've failed these people.
Well, and you know what's interesting, though, and I kind of want to know this. I don't know if we can leave this on the screen, but there was that young boy for our blind viewers. Remember, this is an audio-only podcast, and you can download the audio on Spotify and Google Play and on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out, and we'll read a couple reviews at the end. But because some of you guys are our blind viewers and you're not seeing this, it strikes me as interesting that, like, a couple of these young boys, and especially that one in the orange, they have nice haircuts. Like, their hair is groomed. Like, these are not, this is what I don't understand, and I need you to help me with this. And he's wearing nice clothes. Mm-hmm. Like, shoot. Like, he has nicer clothes than us.
I know, like, Nance is wearing Nike out here.
I know, maybe now we know why you wanted to get purposely trafficked. It's like, you wanted some new clothes. No, but yeah, it's like, they're wearing nice clothes. So, are these poor people coming here? Like, what is going on? Because I'm saying, like, he's dressed nicely, he's got a fade, like, That's not some poor essay. Like, you know, like, this is, that looks like, and he looks like a white kid, like Argentinian or something.
And weren't you saying too that they were using QR codes? This might have been you. They were using QR codes to organize at the border as well. And don't you need a phone for that or a computer for that?
Yeah. So the crazy thing is, Elijah, is the caravan that's actually coming, I mean, our way literally right now, it organized down in Mexico in a city called Tapachula, and you could literally go on Facebook and with a QR code register for the caravan. So another kind of another little issue that I think we need to kind of talk about in is Facebook. Facebook allows human trafficking and human smuggling. I mean, they literally promote it. They allow these groups to be up. There's a tech watchdog group that did an investigation on Facebook, found 50 pages connected to human trafficking and human smuggling. So, Elijah, you and me cannot have the wrong opinion on politics because we get banned on Facebook, but we could smuggle migrants in. So we should be coming after Facebook. Facebook is playing a huge role. And the thing is, after we exposed the QR codes, Facebook didn't even take the group down. It's like they don't even care. So they encourage human smuggling. Human traffickers. And think about this: if you're in the cartel or you are a human smuggler, you could literally get free advertising on Facebook. You literally have a social media platform that allows you to do it. So it's a complete joke because, like I said, wow. You could get banned or censored by saying the wrong thing,
right,
about the V word. But you could traffic migrants all day. I guess Facebook doesn't care about that. They don't care about black and brown lives.
No, they don't. And that is interesting though, because obviously Facebook gets a lot of pressure for a lot of things, and I find it so weird on these social media sites. That, like, for instance, on Twitter, you know, the Taliban can be present.
Oh, right, yeah.
But then, you know, the president of the United States can't. And I find it so odd, though, as somebody who's lost a lot of my platforms and used a lot of legal ways to get them back, how strict these people act when you hold somewhat of a right of center view on anything. But then it's like when you do something crazy where you would expect them to be really focusing their efforts, like right. stopping human trafficking on their websites, they don't seem to really care. I don't get that.
We live in a crazy world. Remember after J6, they took down Parler, and then the research found out that all the organization happened, on Facebook. So these guys never get hit for anything. So that's another big topic that we need to get out there and pressure our politicians. Say, what are you going to do about this? People could get human trafficking and human smuggling literally on Facebook, and these cartels will now get free advertising on one of the biggest social media platforms. It sounds like I'm laughing because it sounds like a joke. We live in, like I said, almost an upside down world. But yeah. QR code, Elijah, you and me could register for the caravan. Let's head down there, buddy.
I'm down.
Jorge, the plan is back in action.
Do I get Nikes?
We're going to send Sav down there.
The plan is back in action. Be like, yeah, I registered via QR code on my iPhone. Yeah. I also don't speak Spanish because I immigrated here.
Hello. You know,
I just have a picture of Gary Franchi Vegas as my background.
That's, he really does.
I really
yeah,
do.
Yeah, he really does. He really does.
But honestly, it is interesting. I do know some people doing some good work on those caravans, which will probably be out within the year. That is going to be really epic as well. But, you know, with you discussing how this actually affects people, it is interesting with the tech companies. Like Savannah is off Twitter, but her show, her producer started a show page on Twitter, which is really cool. That's not managed by Savannah. So that's really good because you wouldn't want to evade that.
Yeah.
But you still can find her show page for Rapid Fire Podcasts on there. But it is interesting, like Savannah, they take her off, but maybe all Savannah needs to do is just become again an illegal immigrant. She might get her accounts back.
Yeah, come on, Sav. Let's send.
I'm revoking
you down to
my citizenship. So
let's
that
send
way
Sav
I
to the caravan.
The government.
Yeah, let's send Sav down there to the caravan. Register QR code. She will get all her social media back. And also Sav, when you come in, you're gonna get a potentially a fat check from the
government. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, I don't see any
downsides. She puts in a resignation. She's like, I got 400 grand, baby.
No,
later,
I was on board for all of this until you said rape tree, and then I was like, ooh, okay, maybe we avoid that part. Yeah, but
she's like, I have an immigrant fantasy, not a rape fantasy.
Yeah,
sorry.
No thanks. I took it all back.
Oh my god, funny.
I know. If you see a training bra on a tree, that's not good. That is not good, Savannah. We do not want that to happen to you. I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
I would be so sad if Savannah, that's why I don't want anything to happen to you, because I literally would die. If anything bad actually happened to you and you did something like that, I would.
The show would go to the ground.
I would feel so bad.
Sav is holding this show,
man.
She's literally saving
the show. I was sick with COVID for 1 week, and it was bad. I was like, all right, I can never leave again.
This guy Elijah, man. Yeah, Sav is holding the foundation of this.
And literally, if you actually see the set and how bad it is, Sav's literally holding the foundation of the physical room.
She's holding Elijah's microphone cord over here to make sure
look,
it's like staying
go
plugged
full
in.
Screen. Go full screen.
It's a fucking mess.
This show's a mess. Hold up. I'll put that back
on. Shout out to everyone who supports us? That's what you're funding. Shout out to you guys. Thank you so much.
I know. And you know, and speaking of funding that, did you know that the average American can fund their life better and has 97 points they can add to their credit score?
That was really subtle.
And have no idea how they can actually get them. Well, ScoreMaster is the new credit science that super boosts your credit score. Forget raising your credit score a few points. That's weak. You don't want to be weak. You got to be based. The average ScoreMaster user is based and raises their credit score 61 points in 20 days or less. 61 points. So say your credit score was in the high 500s to mid 600s. You're going to get screwed if you're trying to buy a home or something like that. When you bought that new car, you got to refinance. But if you'd gone to ScoreMaster first and raised your credit score just the average of 61 points our listeners get, you could have saved $9,000 on your car loan. Literally, it pays to play. And if you'd gone to ScoreMaster before applying for a home loan and raised your score just that average 61 points our listeners get, you could have saved yourself almost $100,000 over the life of your loan. Hell yeah. I'm talking about good savings. So if you own a business and you know how essential great credit is, from getting a loan to funding projects to financing equipment, go to ScoreMaster first and see how super boosting your business credit score can save you a fortune. And right now, ScoreMaster puts you in control of your finances, not the banks. Enroll in minutes and see how many plus points ScoreMaster can add to your credit score. Visit ScoreMaster.com/offense. That's ScoreMaster.com/offense. OFFENSE. So go to ScoreMaster.com/offense right now and see how many points you can add to your score. And I'm telling you, I got my score up and I refinanced my student loans from like 10% to like 2%, yeah, and I'm going down. So
you got that white guy credit. So I need to get on that, Elijah. Is this going to help me get white guy credit? I need white people credit.
I have perfect credit.
Me and Sav are struggling out here. We're trying to get the white people credit.
Do you have good credit, Sav? Do you have good credit?
I actually have amazing credit because my dad started my credit when I was 16. So shout out to dad.
Shout out to dad. Mm-hmm. Dad always knows best.
Exactly.
I know. I came in and she was like, "What's going on with your hair?" It's like my yeah, bro. This is my hair is your credit score.
It's there,
but kind of all over the place.
It's true. That's true. So yeah, I'm gonna sign up, guys. I'm gonna get that white guy credit and
ScoreMaster 61 points
/ white guy credit / offense.
Yeah, can I tell you this though? Like
promo code Baldwin.
Can I say this though? Yeah, promo code Baldwin. Hanging out with right wing people is like something. This is another little side note. If you made it this far in the podcast, we are gonna get back to the border stuff. But if you made it this far. So this isn't a truthful statement. Hanging out with right-wing people is so much more fun than left-wing people because we don't get offended and we just like get kind of like rowdy and hang out and like we just we get so
you should
so
see the thing that Elijah calls me off camera. That's all I'm going to yeah. No, for you.
Oh, same boy.
And same.
No, I have like a list for HR in my phone. I'm like, "Don't cross me, Elijah. Don't cross me." I have all the
I literally call Elijah to be like, "What's up, my Mexican?" Like
no. Que paso? Literally, like a quesadilla.
Literally, if you ever come out, you're going to find out that she got accident. Like she finally volunteered for that trafficking gig she wanted. Cross me again. I'm going to call your traffickers. They're going to come pick you up.
Oh, I literally call Elijah like something super serious and he just answers, "What's up, boy?" I'm like,
I've never said anything like that.
You say some words. I'm not going to say
Elijah Schaefer, he would never.
No. My favorite thing is those that all my like, what's it called? The pox. My Latinks call me the N-word and I appreciate it. Y'all call me the N-word and I love it. Being called the N-word as a white guy is like a rite of passage. It's like, my people. Wait.
yeah. No, I think it was a couple of weeks ago when Elijah took a picture with Zuby and he puts like, "Black people love me."
Dude, I know. I was like, that was your immediate response for the caption. Elijah's like, "I don't see race, but also black people love me. And
oh, I see race. Yeah. I definitely see
it. Oh, we know, honey. We know.
No.
He actually makes me position the boxes from like lightest to darkest. Yeah. So I'm sorry I failed
today. It's like
today.
A gradient. Literally, Jorge's so Mexican, he's even shorter in his box.
He's like, "That's so true, dude. That's
so hola, what's Omar?" Yeah.
Hello, hi. No, Mr. Superman, no here.
No, but I was going to say, it's like, that's actually one of the side notes of like the fun part of like knowing right-wing people is like,
it's fun,
it's just people are not offended and it's just one of the funnest friend groups. You can literally talk about whatever and you just, even if you don't know something, people don't get offended. And nothing better than like not having to care about people's emotions. It kind of sounds vindictive like that, but it's also true. Like
we're all
people have really thick skin in the right
wing.
We're
all essentially living in like the early 90s and like early 2000s.
Literally, we're still in 1993. Yeah, like our friend groups.
It's a good time.
Do shit
should not be recorded. Like our when we all hang out, our conversations should not be recorded.
No, we would be
just
would
kidding.
Be canceled,
record them. Show the world. I don't give a damn. Literally, I'll be like, yeah, that's me, buddy. That's funny. Haha.
Yeah, I was raised on South Park, so it's like I have that literally. Type of like humor where it's like super sarcastic. Always want to say something that is
Family Guy, all that stuff.
Yeah, all that stuff.
I have that humor too. I love offensive humor.
Yeah. So
who would have known? I should start a show about that.
Maybe call it slightly offensive.
slightly offensive.
Yeah, my name is slightly offensive.
How funny? Hey, how funny, bro? My next hit on like mainstream with like Fox would be like,
yes, hi, my name is Jorge from the border.
Imagine that. Daily Caller is Jorge Ventura, and he's like,
hi. That's actually my tío.
I'm Jorge. I just came across the border here. I don't know what's going on. Here I am.
All right. Speaking.
I like the more he has to go like this to do the voice.
Hi.
Yeah, just keep shrieking.
No, it's like this, but it's like when it's like, yeah. Hola, amigo.
Yeah.
Hi.
¿Qué pasó? Yeah, all you're missing is like the one button right here.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And a wife beater.
All right. Well, I do tell you this. So if you guys haven't watched, Jorge has been on my other show as well. You are here last night and tonight as well. And so he's been on these couple days. And so make sure you go watch the show. Make sure you subscribe to that show as well. Help us get to 100K. We're almost at 100K. We need your help to get there. And you got to subscribe to this channel. If you're not subscribed to this channel, I don't know what you're doing. But I want to talk about this other aspect that is really interesting to me. So like, obviously, we love racist humor and jokes on the show. And we really are all lighthearted. But it's interesting because from being down there, people automatically assume that the border does just mean like Mexicans. That's why we're joking. But we saw the Chinese. And what people aren't talking about, not only is it with Chinese, but it's also Haitians. And I know we have this B-roll here of Haitians at the border. I think it's going to shock people who aren't who aren't up to date about the amount of black people that are trafficked at the border.
Yep.
Like, when did this start happening? Because I feel like I don't remember this as a kid. Were they not showing us the pictures?
Essentially,
or is this new?
Essentially what happened, Elijah, that the reason why we even have the border crisis and, you know, where we are with this is when Biden came in, they removed, on day one, with an executive order, removed the Remain in Mexico policy. That right there opened up the floodgates, meaning that, like, if I cross into the country illegally and I was going to seek asylum, under Trump's like, okay, you could do that, but you're not going to wait in the U.S. You're going to wait in Mexico. And when I speak to Border Patrol, this is a good policy because even if we give these people a court date, only 13% of the time they even come to their court date. So they're already in the United States. So under Trump, he puts the Remain in Mexico policy. And then the migrants were like, well, why would we pay the cartels, be human smuggled, and go through this dangerous journey only to be told to wait in Mexico? So that's why illegal immigration really went under with Trump, just off the Remain in Mexico policy. But Biden came in day one, removed it. And now we see all these nationalities. The thing is, too, here, Elijah, I was actually in this park called Yuma. I was meeting migrants from Uzbekistan. I didn't even know Uzbekistan was a country. I'm just going to keep it 100. I was meeting migrants from Uzbekistan, from Romania, from Georgia, all the way from India, crossing through Yuma. So they're coming from all over the world right there. We were meeting, like I said, migrants from Yemen, even in the Yuma, Arizona sector. So Remain in Mexico policy, Biden needs to reinstall that, but obviously they have no urgency to fix this issue.
Yeah, and it is interesting. It's like, oh, look, in the green, you see, is there Sav?
My plan worked.
Yeah, she's like, you see her with a pair of Nikes and a suitcase. Yeah. But like, it is.
Look at Sav, she got a whole new man.
The Gap tracksuit. Like, but that's a whole look. Don't insult.
I do want to say this, though. This is, in the light of this, I don't know how we always end up laughing at this stuff. Dude. It's the saddest thing ever. But it is crazy that like these policies directly, you would say this on camera. I mean, you're in front of America speaking, that directly related to Biden's policies, you can correlate the amount of migrants that are coming over and illegals that are crossing.
Absolutely, because Elijah, now why wouldn't they come? Because now you don't have to remain in Mexico, and the Biden administration is releasing these migrants into the U.S. So it's like, if you're a migrant back in Mexico or Central America and you're watching what's going on, the time to come is now. And these cartels and human smuggling groups, they're putting out that signal and said, hey guys, come now, because you're going to get released into the United States, you're not going to get deported. And so far, they're right. I mean, I would hate, you know, I wish it wasn't, but they're right. Even with the 12,000 Haitians, the 12,000 Haitians got released into the U.S. I mean, yeah, they deported some single males, but 12,000 got released. So if you're a migrant and you see that, you're like, oh, why would I not come? This is the time. And you're going to see it too, Elijah, in some of our past coverage. I literally interview migrants like, are you coming right now because Trump's not in office? They're like, oh, absolutely. They're like, under Trump, we would never even attempt to. So There you go.
No, and I know. And it is interesting, though, because obviously I only have limited amount of stuff here. But what is it? What's something that we didn't talk about the documentary and what you saw that you want people to know? Like, what is an interesting thing or something that we didn't cover that I missed? Because obviously there's so much more in this documentary that people need to see. That's why they need to go watch it. And so it's like, what is another interesting thing that we didn't happen to cover?
So we covered pretty much all of it, but there's going to be some different aspects. So I think one of the interesting aspects that people are going to find is how the real estate industry kind of plays a little bit of a role, because these real estate agents sell to the cartel. Another thing, I know we talked about it a little bit, really, guys, the water theft is a huge thing in California. So every single day that these illegal marijuana operations are operating, between 3 million to 9.6 million water gallons are being wasted on these grows. So water, environment, like I said, the real estate aspect, I think that people are going to find really interesting, because these cartels have unlimited money, so they can buy you out and get in, and they're literally taking over communities out there all through money. So the real estate is involved. You're going to see like the failed policies. I still think that the more eye-opening thing, and this is just from the feedback that I've been getting from the viewers, is the labor trafficking. That people have no idea that it's happening. And an issue like this, like I said a little bit earlier, Elijah, is people think that, oh, well, I don't live next to the border, so it's not going to affect me. This is 300 miles away. It's right here, and it's coming. And this is just a small kind of aspect of to this whole thing, right? We still have a fentanyl problem. All these criminals that are coming in, the Gotaway. So there's a lot. And right there, look, you're looking at the footage. These are human smugglers smuggling minors and women in the middle of the night. And like I said, some of these adult males are not even the dads of these kids. That's very, very eerie. But I'm excited. I'm hoping people, you know, check out the documentary. Send it to a buddy, a friend, carteldoc.com, carteldoc.com. And please let us know what you think, because this is something that we spent a good amount of time. And this is Daily Caller's first ever investigative documentary. So even Daily Caller have never done anything like this.
Yeah, please show him support. Go to carteldoc.com. You can also follow George Ventura on Instagram and on Twitter. You can find his links in the description below. And you can follow his work live in real time. And of course, if you make it this far in the podcast, make sure to support our guests and please leave that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It helps us out so much, as we're demonetized everywhere. And this is how we continue to get ads to fund the show and to keep Sav from getting human traffic. So, and if you made it this far, let's read a couple of these reviews. We have one from AJM9496 says, "I simp for all. Elijah is hilarious, honest, and just slightly offensive. The show has kept me informed with what is happening in the world, and I can't help but to simp for Elijah. But I simp even more for Sav. Sorry, Elijah. Keep opening people's eyes and red, black, white, and clown-pilling everyone listening. Much love, and God bless all of you." Yes, I'll open your eye. All eyes except for your brown eye. That was one color not mentioned. Dalton Chase Scott said, "The best worst show on Blaze TV. Love the show. Elijah and Sav always getting me laughing at the crazy, ridiculous stuff that could usually depress and anger me. Love your take on culture and God. Let's get these numbers up past your new show. Love you both. Keep fighting the good fight. Simp for Elijah." Yes, finally a couple simps.
It only took you an entire year into the show. Confetti. But you finally have simps.
Confetti of white. For once, I get my own confetti. It's always confetti of color. They always, the colors get the confetti. But I just want some white confetti, some wetty. Anyway, thanks so much again for watching another episode of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. Don't forget to sign up at blazetv.com/Elijah and become an official SOB and a member. And if you want to know the best place to connect where I actually respond and read to you guys, you can follow me on Telegram. You can follow Savannah everywhere else as well, her Rapid Fire podcast, and Sav Says on YouTube. And as always, a huge thank you to George Ventura of The Daily Caller, carteldoc.com. You did an excellent job.
Thank you so much for bringing me the day here.
Elijah's like, all right, now go mow my lawn. Yeah, no go tacos. Mow my lawn now.
A huge shout out to our sponsors as well. Have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.